And I've got a message today. It's called Fight, the Good Fight of Faith. You know, over in our Bible school, when we went to Bible school in Tulsa there, our teacher said, you know, some people read that fight and then they started fighting. They didn't read the rest of it, but we have to read the whole of the scripture. And it talks about fighting the good fight of faith. You know, that's so very important, and again, I'm thankful for this ministry. I've been around it for about 15-plus years. I watched Pastor and Miss Anita fight the good fight of faith personally and through the church and ministry. You know, it takes faith to be able to operate a ministry. It takes faith to operate a television ministry, and it takes faith to be in this city of Thunder Bay or wherever you're at. I believe that the important thing is that you're where God wants you to be, and then you're able to fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes people go astray and they get off into areas where and live and do things that they're not called to do, and then they're asking God, please help me. Please help me fight that good fight of faith. But, you know, we got to fight the good fight of faith where we're at, where God tells us. So wherever God tells you to go, you know, he tells you to come to Faith City Church, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Say, hey, I'm called to this place. Over the years, I've seen people come here, and they said, hey, I'm called here. They had a stronger call than I've ever had, and I noticed they disappeared into thin air very shortly after a few years. But did you know what? You got to stick with it and fight the good fight of faith. You know, over in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called when you made your good confession. The faith life that we, you and I walk is it takes a fighting spirit, so to speak. You know, I never was much of a, and again, I appreciate you taking your time out to watch this and to hook up with this ministry, but I never was much of a fighter. I don't know if you were when you were young, but I wasn't much of a fighter. My mother actually had an older brother. She was born in 1939, and so he was gone by the time she started to grow up, but his name was George. And so George was a professional boxer. And so George, in the area of Saskatchewan, so this would be in the 1930s, he would fight people in that area, and he would actually win. He was quite a good fighter. I've seen two pictures of him. And he was quite a good fighter, and he decided to go, him and another kid decided to go all the way to California and make it big. And so that's pretty exciting to have somebody like that in your family tree. But, you know, he went to California, and he started boxing, and things were going okay, but then he got into a fight, and the guy could not win, and he gave him a low blow. Oh, got a low blow. And in no time, he went to the hospital, and he ended up dying in the hospital as a young 20-year-old George, the boxer. He ended up dying. So that's not a very good way to start a career and end a career. But did you know what? When we're fighting the good fight of faith, the devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't play fair at all. He's cruel, he's mean, and he's tricky. Myself, when I was growing up, I thought it would be good to maybe learn some martial arts or something. I got a book on judo. I couldn't even understand the thing. It was like reading Chinese. And so I couldn't understand it. And later on in life, I found out that when you are a fighter in the natural, you actually use your mind and you use your understanding. You're actually very sharp. And the few fights that I had growing up, my mind would turn black, actually, and I would black out, and then I would wake up and wonder what happened. So I wasn't much of a fighter. There was just a few kids. There was one bigger kid. He sat on me. That was one fight. And the other one was he beat me up one day, and so I said, I'm going to get him back. So I tapped on his shoulder in a cloak closet once, and I just hit him as hard as I could. And he got a big black eye out of it, and then I can't remember what happened after that. But that's about my fighting career. But I met people later on in life that were fighters, and they're actually very sharp. You got to know what you're doing. You got to think clearly. And when it comes to fighting the devil, you got to think clearly, and you got to know that he's out to kill, he's out to steal, and he's out to destroy. Amen? He's out to kill, he's out to steal, and he's out to destroy. So I don't want you to be destroyed today in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I believe that you and I, as Christians, we need to be strong and understand that we do have an opponent, and his name is the big black devil. You know, there's a little puppet in here, and he's called the devil. They got him here in the front rows here. But did you know that there is a real opponent that's out to kill, steal, and destroy? But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So let this message be an understanding today that you're on the winning side. Everybody say, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. And so know that a fight, a good fight of faith that you take and you have and you win is the fight that you win. What kind of a better fight would there be if you lose? That's not a good fight, but the fight that God wants us to fight is the fight of faith, and He wants you to win every single time. And so there's going to be opposition in your life. There's opposition in my life. There's opposition in everybody's life. But understand that God wants you to come out on top. So 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, wherein you are called, where have you made the good confession. See, faith and confession always go hand in hand. There's faith and then there's confession. You can't separate your confession from your faith. Someone said you'll never rise above your confession when you're dealing with your faith. So what's coming out of your mouth today? What's coming out of my mouth? If it's not faith, if it's not overcoming Word of God, then guess what? We're going to be going on the down climb. That's such a word. And we're going to be going down. But God doesn't want us to be going down. He wants us to be going up. So fighting the good fight of faith. And we're going to talk about four areas of faith. And again, faith is a whole life that you're going to be learning and growing. I got born again back in 1987, and so that's, I guess, 30-some years, and I'm still learning, I'm still growing, I'm still hungry for the things of God, wanting more than ever to find God and find His will, His plan, and His purpose for my life. And that should be your quest, too, is wanting the very best of what God has for you. So it says over in Luke chapter 18, verse 6 to 8, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, I pray he's going to find it in me, and I pray as he goes by your house. You know, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts may be right towards him. So God knows your address. God knows where you work. God knows your family status of where you're at, and He wants to help you through faith and bring you through every obstacle, every circumstance, and every situation. He doesn't want you defeated in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He says, you be of good cheer because I have overcome. I fought the devil and I overcome. And He says, you're going to fight the devil and you're going to overcome in every area. Amen? I'm just going to have a little bit of water because I'm thirsty. Thank you. And so, back to the message here. It says, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? Luke 18, 6 and 8. So I believe that he's going to find it in you and in me. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, you know, Pastor preached about the second coming of the Lord, or the rapture of the church first and then the coming of the Lord. But did you know something? That he is coming back. He's coming back for us, and he's looking for faith. So when you read your Bible, you go ahead and read it in faith. When you pray, you read it in faith. When you walk in love, when whatever you do in life, you do it by faith. So there's four areas I want to talk about concerning faith. You got to get it, you got to use it, you got to believe it, and you got to confess it. Amen? And so the first one is you got to get some faith. You know, Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's a continual thing of hearing. Not hearing once, but continual hearing. The Apostle Paul said, I want to put you into remembrance. So you got to put yourself into remembrance of what God said. What did God say to me? What did God say to you? Has he given you his word? Some of the most surest people there is those that know their calling and know what God has called them to do. I love those people. You know, there's some people that start churches. They say, it's a good idea. Well, a good idea is good, but guess what? It's better to have a God idea. A God idea is one that says, God says, you go do this. Case closed. I love that. You know, the book of Hebrews talks about those faith men. Noah, build me an ark. Okay, He starts building. For 120 years, he starts building. Joshua, walk around that thing 7 times, 7 days, and however he gave him the information. And sure enough, it happened just like God said. And so you and I must do just as God says. No ands, if, buts about it. You know, concerning the calling of God, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, you have to know, if you're going to fight the good fight of faith, you got to say, God, what do you have? How do you want me to handle myself? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? There's somebody in this congregation, I've talked to an older gentleman, he says people know in their heart what is right and knows what's wrong in their spirit. So isn't that amazing that God Almighty would see to it on the inside of you to know what's right and what's wrong? To know exactly this is what you desire for me to do and to have. So you know on the inside of you. That gives me great assurance. Sometimes people think about God that he's way out in left field somewhere. Oh, he's on holidays. He's not concerned about me. No. He would not leave me alone. For 20 years, I tried to run from him. You can't run away from God. He will hunt you down, and he knows where you're at. And so you might as well submit to his plan, his purpose, his will, his desire for your life. Get over it and be thankful and say, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to lay hold of eternal life, and I'm going to confess exactly what you desire for my life to confess. So number one, you got to get it. Get some faith. Some people, they're wondering, they want us to pray, maybe pray that I'll have more faith in this area. I wish I had this, I wish I have that. Well, it doesn't come by wishing like we heard before. It comes by believing what God's Word says. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. So it's God's Word is what you're going to have. Circumstances and situations, there's some fluffy ones. I heard of one guy who saw the lake of fire. Saw the lake of fire. Well, that should change somebody. That doesn't mean just because you saw the lake of fire, that's going to change everything. Yeah, that'll give you a shake-up, but it's there. But God wants you to focus on the Word of God. I told the Lord back before I got born again at 20 years of age, I said, when the mark of the beast comes out, I won't receive it. I will die for you. Ring, ring, ring. Okay, guys, let's go out. Party time. Not really like that. It was more, it's the 80s, eh? So there's a different sound to that. But anyways, it's all a bunch of BS. But anyways, the moral of this story is I was going to wait. No, there's no waiting. Faith is now. Everybody say, faith is now. If it's not now, it's not faith. And so when God speaks to your spirit, your heart, you say a big yes, Lord. Yes, here I am. Send me. Or yes, I'll do this. Or yes, I'll do that. Thank you, Lord. So you got to get faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The dictionary definition for faith is a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. We learned that in Bible school. That's a dictionary meaning. It's a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based upon hearing. The woman with the issue of blood must have heard something, for she said, if I but touch his hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She stretched out in faith. Jesus is walking to another individual's place to pray for a small girl that is perishing, that's dying, a daughter of a man, and he's walking on his way, not even understanding or concerned about this woman with the issue of blood, but then all of a sudden, boom, he feels virtue leave him. This woman had faith because she heard that somebody was healed by touching the hem of his garment, and she said, I'm going to do the same thing, and I'm going to receive those same rewards. And she went and she touched, and she was healed. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And the woman, fearing and trembled, came and told him everything. He didn't reprimand her. He said, woman, man, you got faith. And so faith is visible. We could see faith. You work in the church. We see your faith. You usher, you greet, you teach the children. You have faith. You give money. I've seen people give large amounts of money. I'm surprised that the faith that they have. That is amazing. And it blows my mind to say, wow, a generous person giving. Wow. That amazes me. It makes me want to push up my giving. You know, one individual wanted to give 90% of his income. Well, that's good if you've got a large income. Otherwise, you're just going to you're going to give all your money away. You're not going to have nothing to eat. You got to survive. But he wanted to give 90% away, and he wanted to survive off 10%. Wow, that's quite a vision. That's quite a goal to reach for. That's awesome. You see people's faith in different areas, and but where are you at? That's the important thing, because nobody is more concerned about you than yourself. And so you want to use your faith and you want to fight the good fight of faith. So back to the definition, the faith is a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. You're going to hear what God's word says and you're going to believe it. The practical definition is faith is an act. Faith is a hact, as the Englishman would say, which would be Smith Wigglesworth, which we heard. Again, we haven't seen Smith Wigglesworth. We don't know if he's real. We don't know. Apparently, he died in 1947. Several people were raised from the dead, and there was a book written about him. In different books and different materials, people penned down his words that he said, but he would always say, faith is an act. That's a practical definition of acting your faith. That means what you see in God's word, go ahead and do it. It says, lifting up holy hands without doubt and wrath. There my hands go up. You know, it felt very weird to lift up my hands before I was born again. I wouldn't do that unless, of course, somebody forced you. But you're going to, and why would you lift your hands once you're born again? But yet the Bible says, lifting up holy hands without doubt and without wrath. Praising God Almighty, saying, Father, you're the creator of the universe. Jesus, you're Lord. Holy Spirit, I believe in you. Lifting up holy hands. Faith is an act. In every area of life, faith is an act. Getting involved in church, faith is an act. Reading your Bible, faith is an act. Walking in love, faith is an act. Forgiving people, faith is an act. In every area of life, walking in faith, faith is an act. So the dictionary definition is faith is a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing, a practical definition of faith, which we're talking about, fighting the good fight of faith, faith is an act. And the biblical definition is found over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. This is the biblical definition of faith. It says, faith is the substance. Did you know faith has substance? I'll never forget in Rhema, or when I was in Bible school in Tulsa, I was 25 years old, and somebody wanted me to babysit their two kids. They wanted to go out on a date. I got plenty of time. Sure, let's go. So I said, I'll babysit those kids. So they went to bed. I was sitting on the couch, and I got to listening to the cassette. You know, there's cassette players. There still is today, and I'm going to be ordering one from whatever that's called. Amazon, there you go, a little voice said that. So I'm going to be ordering one, a nice little one, and I think it costs $49, and I'll be able to pull out all those old dusty cassette tapes, and I bought several of them, and see what they sound like. But anyways, we'll do what we can to build our faith. What was I saying? I was talking about that cassette, getting excited about it, and doing this. Now, faith is a substance, so hopefully it'll come back to me. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is substance. Oh, yeah, there it was. I was babysitting those two kids. Thanks. And so I was babysitting those kids, two kids. I was sitting on the couch, and I had the lights off. The kids are gone to bed. Well, I got nothing better to do. I'm going to talk to God and listen to the cassette. I'm laughing away. Hey, praise God, you know. I'm a happy camper. Why? I don't have to go to work the next day. I'm going to go to Bible school. I'm going to learn some more. This is great. Sitting on the couch. He comes in. He opens the door. All of a sudden, whoa, he goes like this. He lifts his hands up and starts running around the room. I said, what? He said, oh, he's excited about something. What's he excited about? He's excited about the tangibility of the presence of God. He's excited about believing that God is there, believing that there's baka moko seke bakarama sakaramasa. It's better felt than telt. Amen? And so you can feel it. So faith is substance. When you operate in faith, it is substance. It is substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see it in the natural, yet you're praying, you're believing God. And this isn't just praying that hope one day, someday you're going to get something. No, this is praying, this is believing that you receive it. End of the story. Praying, you believe it, you receive it. So those three definitions of faith Our faith is a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. A practical definition is faith is an act. And the biblical definition is Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is substance. So you got to have substance when you're dealing with the Word of God. You got to have substance in knowing that, hey, there is a devil, but guess what? He's defeated. My scriptures tell me that Jesus made an open show of it, over him, triumphing over in it. In Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection defeated the devil. Apparently, he went to hell for 3 days, according to the scriptures. He came out of there with the keys of death and hell, and he said, I've got authority. And now he tells us in Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe and baptize shall be saved. Those that don't believe shall be damned. And so you got to know that you've got authority over the devil. So you got to get faith so you'll be able to walk victorious in every single area. So when the devil comes a knocking, guess what? You just close the door in his face. Say, you know, I'm not messing with you. He says, you can't do it. You close the door. You say, I'm not messing with you. He says that you'll never succeed. You close the door and you say that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate on it day and night to observe to do all that is written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. Do I need to spell it out better for you? Because he's going to come and he's going to hound you. Or he's going to say, you know, you're going to die this, that. I'm sick of those stories. Because he could tell everybody anything. He said, oh, he puts a song on the radio. Only the good die young. What's that? Only the good die. Yeah, it's got a catchy beat. No, but that's it. Just a catchy beat. The rest of it's garbage. You don't want to die young. You want to be old and successful in the Lord. You want to be successful in whatever God has called you to do. And you can. Amen. He thinks these young people perishing and going on in a blaze of glory. Oh, man. Oh, they were so wild. They were so crazy. No, they were nuts and they had lack of knowledge. And they didn't understand that life is so temporary. They should be thankful that God put them on the face of the earth, that he died for them, that he has a plan and a purpose and a will and a desire for their lives. So faith is the substance. It's literally something. It's a tangibility, a substance of things hoped for. We hope for many things in life. Oh, I hope for this. I hope for this. I hope for this. But guess what? If we find scripture on what the Bible says, then we got substance, that we've got faith. Hey, my faith has given me substance of the things I hope for. I've got some substance. Hallelujah. Of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How about in Hebrews, it talks about Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm giving you a son. What? He's old. He's 99 years old. His wife is old. How is this possible? Hey, believe it. I said, you're having a son, and out of your loins is going to be this, 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 and this. And then finally, he believed it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, young people, teenagers probably, they said, you bow down when you hear this, but you don't bow down to God. You bow down and worship something else. No, they said, we're not doing it. Throw us into the fire. We will not bow. And guess what? Faith came through. There are four people walking in the fire. We got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Jesus walking around in the midst of the fire. They came out of there. They didn't even smell like smoke. Isn't that amazing? People of faith. And the whole book in Hebrews, that chapter of the heroes of faith, are just packed with them. Little David, 17 years old. I told Joseph the other day, I said, Joseph, you are 12 years old. Jesus wanted to be about his father's business. And then I went and played Fortnite with him for a couple of hours. But still, hey, 12 years old, that kid, you know, you're probably watching. Joseph, you're awesome and amazing. Just remember that. And so 12 years old, you can be about your father's business and you can have a call. Actually, God actually spoke to my heart and said at 8 years old, give your heart to the Lord. I said, no, I want to experience a few things first. At 8 years old. And I tasted the nastiness of this world. Oh, you're so lucky, some people say. No, it's not luck. It's bad. Amen? And the wages of sin is death. There's pleasure in the world for a season, but when the season is over, guess what you get? You get misery, heartbreak, home break, and a wreck. You're a financial wreck. And so anyways, back to the topic at hand, fighting the good fight of faith. But so the Lord will speak to your heart. He'll speak to you, even at 12 years of age. And David was 17 years of age. And you know, that guy had some faith stories. The guy had some faith stories in the back of his pocket, in the back of his mind. He said, I fought a bear. How many of you fought a bear? I've seen a couple of bears, and I wouldn't mess with a mother bear. Not even come close to a mother bear who's taken, someone took the cubs. They're vicious. Look on YouTube, you'll see a nasty bear. You look up wild bear. And so David fought a bear. He fought a lion. How many of you want to touch a lion? Those are, they got fangs. But he said, I killed the lion and I killed the bear. Just to let everybody in television land know, or in live stream know, that David was anointed. Can you say anointed? And what it was he did that through the power of the Spirit of God. Samuel went to his house, anointed him, and then the Spirit of God would come upon him. And so he did those things. And then when he seen that Philistine, but just to let everybody know that in the New Testament, we all have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, and the Spirit of God could come upon us and anoint us. And David saw that Philistine, 9 feet tall or bigger, making curses against the God who he knows. He said, who's this uncircumcised Philistine barking that way? I will take him down. And everybody was shocked. How could this person do this? Why would he do this? And so he went out there. Saul tried to give him his armor, but the armor, you can't go in another person's anointing or another person's armor. You got to have your own experiences with God. You got to have your own fights of faith. You got to come through smiling, even through tears and blood, and say, thank you, Jesus, I came through. And he whipped that giant and he cut off his head. He said, I'm going to cut your head off. See? Get it. He had faith. He got it. He did it. Then he believed it and he confessed it. He said, I'm going to cut your head off. And he went and over and he cut that big head off. Now, I don't know if you've got a vivid imagination, but I do. Now, the guy's got a big head because he's 9 feet tall. The head is big. And he just cut the head off. If you ever cut chickens' heads off, I grew up on the farm. It's nasty. Blood is flying all over. So David is carrying his head by the hair, probably, and he's all covered with blood. Everywhere is soaked with blood. He's carrying this head around. Well, you're not going to mess with a guy like that. This guy has got faith. He went up to Saul, and Saul says, whose kid is this? He couldn't believe that that kid did this. And the guy's carrying that head around. And he had that big, long sword. The guy was huge. So that's a fight of faith. And may all of us have in our pocket, so to speak, or our sheath, or whatever they call it, in our little treasure chest, things of faith. Things that God has come through. I've got so many, it's just beautiful, of areas where God has come through for me. And he made me smile. Amen. And you should smile too. Say, God, you came through for me. Sometimes I was in Winnipeg. I wasn't saved at the time. I was having such a good time with the Lord. There was a little walking trail there somewhere, some French area part of town, and I was feeling so good about the Lord. Yeah, 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 the Lord is for me. And then shortly after that, I just blew it. Absolutely messed up. I said, oh boy, why didn't I stay in that little place there on that track, not get off of there? But guess what? God is the God of many opportunities and many chances. And he always brings you through so you can go to your next victory with him. And so he'll take you from victory to victory to victory. He said, though the righteous fall 7 times, yet they rise. So you just go ahead and say, you know what? Yeah, yesterday may have been good and maybe today was rougher, but tomorrow is going to be better because the Lord is for me and he's not against me. So you got to get it and then you got to use it. So that was the definition of faith. So we get it, we use it. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Every opportunity you have to do the word, go ahead and do it. God's speaking to your spirit. You do it. I like prayer meetings, and there is a prayer meeting held on Zoom here at Faith City Church at 5:45, and we've had 6 people out, 7 people out. Go ahead and believe God and pray, or if you pray, pray at home. That takes faith to say, hey, I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust in God. You think this is a one-man show? You think pastor just said everything's this? No, it takes people. It takes helpers. Do you ever see David trying to lead Israel and Judah all by himself? No, he had tons of people. Tons of people. Absolutely, all kinds of people. He even had one person that was his friend. And that's, I'm Pastor Roman's friend. King David, amen. So there's actually a legitimate job of being a blessing unto somebody. Amen. And so whatever God has spoken to your spirit to do, you do it. Because God Almighty is for you. He's not against you. So we got to get this faith. If we're going to fight the good fight of faith, you got to get it. Then you got to use it. James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you don't if you don't do the word, you're deceiving yourself. There's many hearers of the word, and I hear tons of word. But actually, the faith that I have is the word that I'm doing. The faith that I have is the word that I'm doing. Thank God for all the word I hear. We go to church on Wednesdays. We go on Sundays. We study at home. We listen to tapes. I listen to Brother Hagin constantly. And so we're listening and we're hearing. But guess what? It's only when faith arises, that's the faith that you're operating in. So you got to get faith. And if you're going to fight the devil, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says that the devil walketh around. So he's walking around, apparently, seeking whom he may devour. So he looks at me, he says, I could devour him, I could whip him up. Yeah, in my own strength, he can devour me, he can whip me up. But guess what? When I'm in Jesus, he can't do diddly squat. And when you're in Jesus, he can't do diddly squat. If you think that you're going to take the devil on just in the natural, in the flesh, you got another thing coming. You're not. You only come to him and you defeat him with the word of God. You defeat him because you're in Christ. You defeat him because you're the righteousness of God. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The blessings of heaven are on you. You've got Father, you've got Son, you've got Holy Spirit. He's got his angels in charge of you, and you're going to whip him that way. And you're going to keep him at bay because he's a defeated foe. But many times in the church, we see people defeated, at Christians defeated. And that's not God's will. That's not God's plan. They say, oh, I guess it's God's will. No, it's not God's will. Even if I was sick as a dog, and I have been in times past, sick to the point of death. Oh, I guess it's not God's will. No, it's God's will to heal, that you be whole every which way. Amen? You could be broke as broke. They say church mice, but I don't believe church mice are broke. I believe they got some money. Amen? And so you could be broke as ever, but guess what? You're believing God. You're saying, thank you, Lord, for good opportunities coming my way. Thank you that the windows of heaven are open unto me, pouring out such a blessing there's not enough room to receive. You're speaking. You're confessing. You're believing. You're coming against those thoughts of defeat. You're coming against those thoughts of anxiety, of worry. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, you know, once we come back to the church, do you know what? There may be some people that sit at home and they say, you know, I liked it better back then when we sat at home. I hope not. But guess what? We got to move with the flow and say, no, I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to come back to church. I'm going to sit and I'm going to praise God in the multitude of the congregation because the Bible says, come together. And so it's scriptural. So there's definitely times where we are together in one place and one accord. Thank you, Lord. And we can be together in one place and one accord online, but there's also the coming together in a crowd and a group. So we got to get some faith. We got to use some faith. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So he sees us. He loves us. He's yearning for us to operate in faith. You know, Hebrews 11, 6, I believe it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you're not going to please him any other way except by faith. You can try. You know, pray. Lord, I'm trying to please you. No, he likes faith. It's a strange thing. I don't know why. I didn't make the thing up. I never created this. He created me in November 20th, 1966. That's when I opened my eyes and I came to this earth. And you, whenever you were born, you came to this earth. But God had the whole system set up years ago, even before time. The Bible talks about Satan actually being in heaven, and his name was Lucifer or something like that, and he was in charge of music. That's what I heard about it. And I heard he rebelled against Father, against Jesus, against the Holy Spirit, and he got kicked out. They booted him out of heaven. Why doesn't God just extinguish him? Again, I didn't make up the thing. He did. He kicked them out. Adam and Eve, he created them perfect. He said, eat of any tree you want. Could be thousands of trees. Don't eat of that one tree. The day you eat of it is the day you die. Well, they went to the tree and they ate of it and they died. So we got this free will that's so important and so wonderful that it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if there's anybody in Thunder Bay that's hungry for God, it should be you. It should be me. Amen? If there's anybody that's going to know anything about God, guess what? It should be you. It should be me. It should be us hungering and thirsting and say, God, I'm using my faith. Without faith, it is impossible. That's why I wake up in the morning. I don't care what I feel like. I feel like a rotten piece of garbage in the morning. Just to let everybody know, if you want to go by feelings, I feel horrible. I feel like I stayed up too late. I stayed up till 12. I should have went in bed at 10:30. And I'm tired. Have you ever felt that way? But if you're going to be a faith man and a faith woman, you're going to get up, you're going to say, praise the Lord, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I ask for a spirit of wisdom today and revelation of the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of my calling, what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, might, and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but the world that is to come. Praise God, I'm a happy camper. Thank you, Jesus. I bow my knees. I don't bow my knees right on the floor there, but I bow my spiritual knees. I'm right down worshiping God. I bow my knees unto my God and Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto me according to the riches of your glory. Actually, don't just say me. I include everybody. Did you know that? I include pastors. I include Pastor Miss Anita. I even include Pastor Steve and Kendra. Isn't that amazing? I include the kids. I include my relatives. Oh, no, you can't do that. I include my unbelieving relatives. I include people of Thunder Bay. I include everybody. Everybody that moves and breathes as possible, I include them. Give us, I bow my knees unto my God and Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he be granted to us according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your spirit in the inner man. That we would be strengthened with might by our spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. That we be rooted and grounded in love. Ha, ha, ha. I'm a loving person. No, you're not. You're mean as the devil. No, 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 no. I love. I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. I don't want to see anybody suffer. I'm walking in love. Oh, no, you're a liar. Nope. I don't believe it. I'm walking in love. That I may walk in, to know the hope of his calling. That's a different prayer. But anyways, strengthen with might by your spirit and inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that be rooted and grounded in love right there. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that be rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? And so I say prayers like that, that we stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And so next thing you know, the dreariness left. Why? Because you operated in faith. You spoke. You activated your faith by your mouth. And so you got to get it. You got to believe it. Or you got to get it. You got to act on it. Use it. Then you got to believe it and confess it. Right there, those four things. Get it. Use it. Believe it and speak it. Use your mouth to activate your faith. You say, thank you, Lord, that you're real. Guess what? I say the anointing of God is real. I sense you. I'm having a morning coffee, and I sense the Lord, and it's not decaf. It's solid stuff. It's the strong stuff right there. I do like to fill the pot up full, though, because I did get a little bit overdosed on it, if it's too strong. But I like to have a cup of coffee, and I sit there, and I praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is so tasty. I got that special creamer. $5 a can, but my wife wants it for $3.40. Or whatever, and I just sip that. Oh, that's nice. Look how quiet it is. The dogs are resting. Wow. Everything is beautiful. I have my one-year Bible. I tell you, life is good. Amen? But however you wake up, you may wake up, and my wife, again, I'm not being mean, because I only got 10 minutes. But she said that when she went to Bible school, she would do the Rhema run. She had like 3 jobs in Tulsa, and so she would do the Rhema run. And she would say, this is where I would park. I showed her, this is where I park, right close by the front door. I said, I listened to Brother Hagin before I'd go in the mornings. She said, this is where I park, way by the library. And then she would have to do the Rhema run. That means run to class. Why? Because when they shut that door, it's shut. And you got to go to the office. I didn't go to the office and get a tardy slip, but apparently some people have. And so they rush and they go there. So however you wake up in the morning, use your faith. Even wake up in the morning and you got to get those clothes on and you got to get to work while you talk to God while you're getting changed. Thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. Every tongue that rises in judgment shall be found to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord. Glory be to God. Grab something to eat and go to work. Glory to God. Isn't that beautiful? So however you got to operate your faith in the level where you're at and how you do your life. You're not going to be me. I'm not going to be you. I don't want to be you. I want to be me. I'm happy. I'm a happy camper in the way God has worked in my life. And I love people of faith. And I watch them. I observe them. I study them. And I want the faith life that they have. The success they have in their faith life. I don't want to be over. You think I want to be like, oh no, I just want to drink. Oh, you know, I just want a drink. Oh, I want one. Well, in the natural, your body, you got to deal with this thing. It's not born again. This is a natural body. It's getting old. Some of these things have arthritis. Some of them have got the sniffles. Some of them got this, they got that. You put anything in this thing. This is the body is for this life. And then once it's gone, it's gone. You get a brand new one. And so you got to deal with that. You got to use your faith with this thing. But you're using it from the inside out. Your mind is not renewed naturally. You got to renew your mind. Otherwise, you're going to think like a squirrel. I don't know how squirrel swings think so. That's a poor illustration. But you got to think clearly in what God's word says. You got to say, this is what God's word says. I'm going to think on that. You know, there's one scripture that meant so much to me. Spiritually minded is life and peace. Does anybody like peace out there? Or do you want to fight naturally? No, you want to fight the good fight of faith. And so you fight that good fight of faith by getting it, using it, believing it, and speaking it. Hallelujah! As we are moving forward here. Okay, over in John 14, 29, it says, now I've told you this before it come to pass that you might believe. Jesus said that. I have told you this, that before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. He told his disciples about that. He said many things. He said, go over there, and there's a donkey, and bring me that donkey. The owner is going to tell you, why are you taking that donkey? You tell him this. See, the commands of the Lord are so simple, aren't they? You just obey. You just obey. He said, go ahead and throw it on the right side of the boat. Why the right side? Jesus, we worked all night. We put in 24 hours, and we're tired, and you want us, and we listen to you speak, and now you want us to throw it on the right side. No, I'm not going to throw no net. We just cleaned the nets. He threw the net. The Bible says there was 153 fish that he pulled to shore, Peter pulled to shore, because he obeyed. But they fished all night and got a big goose egg. Now, if that doesn't bring faith to you, what does? It's God's word, because he said it. Throw the net on the right side of the boat, and you're going to get exactly, you're going to have a haul, you're going to have a catch. Why? Because he said do it. He's the boss. Everybody say, Jesus is the boss. Jesus is the boss. My knees bow to him. Every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess to Jesus that he is Lord. And he does say obey those in authority. So I pray for Trump. I pray for him. I bless him. And to me, it was a marvelous thing that happened that he became the president of the United States. When I saw all those reds and I was amazed and I watched the news people and they're like this, oh, I can't believe it. I can't. How did this happen? And they're just freaking out. I said, wow, look at that. Isn't that amazing? And in the faith life is too. When people succeed through faith, they make them open their mouths and their tongues fall out. How did that happen? How did that happen? It happened because of God. It happened because of God Almighty. Thank you, Almighty Jesus. And so we pray for our Trudeau in Canada. Everybody's complaining about him. And some people are liking him. But I see he's giving checks like crazy to people. And in fact, there's several more people that are getting checks. I thought about it. But Cindy said, don't do it. You'll be punished. And I have been punished before. Pastor preached about doing your unemployment insurance right. And you know, he was right. I was wrong. You better fill it out right because they're coming to get you and you have to pay it back. I hope not. Anyways, I don't want to curse anybody and I don't curse people. I bless people. But anyways, we want to pray for those that are in authority. Pray for Trudeau. Pray for Trump. Pray for our mayor. Pray for everything. Okay, so you're going to get it. You're going to use it. Again, you're going to use it. And then together goes believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Mark 5:36, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. When that man, when Jesus was walking to his house to heal his daughter and the woman with the issue of blood came and touched the hem of his garment, another one came and said to the man that was bringing Jesus to heal his daughter, he said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Who wants to hear that? That's devastating. That's horrible. That's heartbreaking. He could just break right down there. Jesus immediately heard those words. He said, right there, do not be afraid, only believe. And the man believed, and they kept on going, and the little daughter came back alive. That's awesome. To not be afraid, but believe. So be not afraid, only believe. And then you got to speak it. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, I believe, and therefore I've spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Again, your faith will never arise, your confession concerning your faith, your life is never going to arise more than the confession that comes out of your mouth. So you've got to speak God's word on a continual basis. Again, you don't have to irritate people that are unbelievers coming unto them, speaking unto them. You know, I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for that. No, you're believing God, and God's the one that's answering your prayer. Now, there is times when you should, but that doesn't mean that you always have to tell everything that the Lord is working in your life. Because some will mock you. Some will, it's like pearls before swine. But again, that doesn't give us the license not to do anything. We should speak when we need to speak. Again, I'm not the judge of that. You're your own judge. You do your business. I do mine. And so you got to speak when you need to speak. But privately in your own life, you could speak all you want. You could talk about the blessings of the Lord. You can talk about health and healing. Thank you, Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and so forth and so on. So when fighting this fight of faith, there's many times as we come to a close here, and in Mark chapter 4, it talks about Jesus when he gave the word of God. He said that some fell by the wayside. The devil came immediately to try to take the word of God that was sown in their hearts. And there's some different areas that the devil can come to try to take the word out of your life. It could be the lust of riches. It could be the lust of other things that come in and choke the word of God from performing in your life. It says that those that fell among the thorns are the cares of this world, and the lust of other things have come in and choked the word, and it became unfruitful in your life. So you got to fight the good fight of faith when it comes to those things. I jotted those down. It has to do with offense, and many are offended, and so that could take the word of God out of your life. When you have an offense, that your faith will not work. You got to drop it and leave it with God and say, God, you know, I'm not going to be offended. You're the one that supplies and provides. You're the one, and so I will not be offended. When persecution and afflictions come for the word's sake, it's not coming because you're so pretty. No, it's coming because the word that you have inside your heart and in your life Satan wants to destroy that. And so he comes to try to take that word out. And some people leave the word for money. It's sad, but that's the cares of this world and the lust of other things and riches come in and choke the word. You can't just be money-minded. Oh, I'm just going to go after money. I'm just going to be money-minded. You know, that's the area that we need to be in, focus, making money, having money, doing all this with money. No, God wants you to have money and to be a blessing, but we can't just focus on that. And sometimes people can be trapped and the devil can win the victory over their life if they just become money-minded. And some other hindrances can be lack of our understanding of the new birth. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Ken Semenchuk, he died when he was 20 years old, so to speak, roughly. There you go. He was dead. That means that the old way, the old man, he had a certain way that he did things. And even now, I'm 50, going to be 50 whatever. And I'm going to be 50 something. And yet, I could still think back then. You know, spiritual things, you don't grow old. You know, Howard Carter, which is a great man of God, he said, the only way I knew that I was old, I would look in the mirror and I would get disgusted at what I looked at. And so he said, this guy is old. But yet on the inside, we're like a kid or a boy or a young person. Why? Because we're alive unto God. We don't grow old on the inside of us. People that have gone to heaven, apparently you're like 33 years old. I don't know how that works, but that's what I've heard over several people that have went to heaven. He said, everybody is fairly young looking. And they shine according to what they did on earth. There was one person way on the hill, they said he was just sparkling. They went up there and he didn't do much, but he served God wholeheartedly all his life. But yet in the natural, it didn't seem like he did much. But he served the Lord to the best of his ability. So anything that you do for the Lord, when you operate in faith, when you act in faith, you have rewards coming to you. It's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and how you do the will of God in your life. So those hindrances can come. So number one, you got to get it, you got to use it, you got to believe it, and then you got to confess it. We're going to end over with Romans 10, verse 10. It says, for with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what saith the word? The word's near you, in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith which we preach. Sometimes people worry about this word of faith. What's this word of faith? The word of faith is God's word and believing God's word to the very max of it. It's believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. Believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. Thank God. So when you fight the good fight of faith, and we fight it every day, and you're going to be fighting it, make sure you have faith to fight the devil. Make sure you use the word of God to fight the good fight of faith. And make sure you believe it and make sure you confess it. Amen. Let's pray and let's believe God. Thank you, Father, for each one watching in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the Spirit of God. There's no limit in the Spirit of God. And so thank you that you're with them right there. And as they pray and as they believe God and as they resist the devil and as they work and as they go about their business, we thank you, Lord, that they are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We thank you that they resist the devil and the devil flees and runs. And we believe that in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you so much for watching and for staying hooked up with Faith City Church and Spirit Alive. Hallelujah. God